Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. If you guys appreciate what the stations are doing, please reach into your pocket, throw a few bucks in the kitty. We are viewer-supported stations. We're not getting grants from the government or anything like that. It's all viewer-supported, so... if you can't afford a few bucks, please do so. I'm joined today by Doug Force, has a site called The Myth Is Canada. The Myth Is Canada or The Myth of Canada?
The Myth Is Canada.
Exactly.
Benjamin Doolittle is The Myth of Canada.
That's it, right. And you were the original founder of that site, correct, Doug?
I am, yes.
Well, it's always, I've had you on before, and it's always good to have you back in for a conversation. I know that we talked about a few things off air there, that there's so many things seems like going on in our society right now. It's really hard to narrow it down to things we really want to hit on today, but we talked about something just before the air here today. So let's start off with that, Doug, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me back yet again, Barry. And it's always wonderful to speak to your audience, because they seem to be a very informed audience, which is nice. And I guess that's because they listen to you on an ongoing basis.
So it's the people. It's about the people that you get in, Doug.
Well, there's that.
Get too. Smart people in, it makes your shows good. Go ahead.
But as we were talking about before the show, I made a comment to Barry stating that in order to figure out what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing, all you have to do is really just watch the financial markets. And that tells the whole story as to why they put this coronavirus is out there, why they tried to start World War III with Iran, why they're trying to interfere with the BRI, the Belt and Road Initiative, that China and Russia are putting together across the Eurasian continent and so forth. And it's if you watched last 10 days in the market up until February 29th, you watched the Dow Industrial in New York on the Wall Street drop by over 4,000 points. It had one day where it dropped by almost 1,100, almost 1,200. It was 1,190 points. It was the largest drop in the history of the Dow. But not just the Dow. It happened on the global markets as well. The damage that was done was equated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 trillion just on the stock exchanges. That didn't include the metals or the commodities or the oil and nat gas, et cetera, that was just off the stock exchanges. That's an amazing number.
Yeah, do you think this is going to trigger a run, Doug? Do you think it's going to be a repeat of 1929?
Well, here's what happened. Okay, so we watched gold and silver run up. Okay, gold ran up over the 10 days by $300 an ounce. Silver ran up to $25 an ounce Canadian, which was a run up of about $3 again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on Friday, February 29th, the end of the month, it was the 28th, I'm sorry, not the 29th, because Saturday was the 29th, but the end of the month, they did what they normally do. They took all the gold and all the silver from across all the multiverses, because they've cleaned out this universe a few years ago, so they went to the multiverses and sold it all into the market. Because they actually only have about 5 tons for delivery, with about 244 or 300,000 metric tons in paper. Okay, just in gold. So they actually got the price of gold to come down, not what they were looking for, which was what we call a waterfall event, to drop it by two, possibly the $300 gain it made, but it dropped by $58. And oh boy, are they not, they're not very happy about that, because that means there are people waiting for the price to come down where they find it reasonable, where you can't buy it at a cheaper rate, and they jump right back into the market. And the problem that they'll have with this is those buyers are going to stand for delivery, and they don't have the gold. And they know they don't have the gold. So come Monday morning, it's going to be a very interesting look at what happens here, because, yes, you're absolutely correct. We could see the stock markets and the bond markets implode. We could see the gold market explode and the silver market, because gold and silver are always going to be money. They've been money for 5,000 years, so people know that when a fiat currency system is collapsing, there's only one place to go. gold and silver. Gold and silver, period. It really is that simple. So we could actually see that come Monday morning. Will it happen? Gosh almighty, I hope not. I'm not ready for this. Are you?
No, and I'll tell you, Ed Janicek is in the room now, but I'm just going to quickly say something before Ed gets in on his what he wants to talk about, is the fact that I did talk to somebody down in the States about what we just talked about here a few minutes, in the last couple minutes here, and that is a very, very, I'm not saying it's going to happen, folks, but it's a very strong possibility, because the same scenario, almost to the T, is unfolding in front of us as we saw in 1929 prior to the Great Collapse. But interesting times. I know Ed's in with us, and Ed wants to talk about what's going on with Kevin Johnson. And we'll get back to this conversation in a few minutes here.
Absolutely. No problem. Let's have Ed. Yeah. I'll mute my mic.
Yeah, I think Ed wants to play a sound clip for us, guys, for a few minutes. Is that correct, Ed? Welcome to the show, bud.
No, thanks for waiting for me, guys. I had a call from Kevin J. Johnson from jail yesterday morning.
Barry, Ed?
Yes, sir.
There are a very, very good chance nobody's going to be able to hear it, but you can try. I don't know.
Okay.
Fair enough. Anyways, should work. Anyways, Kevin J. Johnson called me from jail, and he gave a little statement. He asked me to share it out and get the word out, because nobody knows he's in there. And there's this, well, as you'll hear in the video, there's other people that are locked up, also political dissidents or people that are speaking out against the current system. So welcome to Soviet Canada. And here's Kevin's video. Sorry, the sound clip from a phone call.
All right. Okay, sir.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to get 2 minutes. Kevin J. Johnson here calling you from Maplehurst, a maximum security prison. Just so everyone knows, I am in a supermax prison right now for the sole purpose of trying to get me to be quiet. That's what the government wants. They want me to shut up, so they've locked me down in this place. We've had 14 days in February where they've locked us down and kept us in our cells where you can't talk with anybody, you can't shower, you can't do anything. 4 days straight last weekend just passed. The government is really going out of its way to make sure that everybody who's on the conservative side of the argument is going to be quiet. I'm not the only one that they're doing this to. I've met two other guys who are in here for speaking out against the liberals and speaking out against the Greens and speaking out against pedophilia and so on. Unfortunately, Canada, this is what your country is coming to. Communism and socialism are going to reign supreme for a while unless we can all find a way to get these laws that have been written to silence us written back out of the books. I've had a lot of time to think about that, and we're going to have to, unfortunately, enlist the help of the Americans. The Americans are going to have to make statements such as, if you want to do business with us under NAFTA accords or otherwise, you are going to have to remove these laws that stifle your citizens. I don't know how I'm going to get that message across to the Americans or how I'm going to get that across to everybody else, but I can tell you, you don't want to be in this place. This is an awful, awful freaking place. The food is absolutely awful. I've lost 30 pounds since I got in here. I've been sick twice since I got in here, and I've got a toilet in my cell that doesn't work. This is what they're going to do to all of you, Canada. You have to find a way to fight this properly. So please go to kevinjjohnston.ca right now and donate if you can. $5, $10, $20, whatever you've got. Ed, you there?
Yep.
Okay, so I got to click. Thank you, everybody. I love you all, Canada, and please watch your back. And when I say watch your back, I mean watch your back, because they are watching everybody on the conservative side of the argument, and they will punish you, and you don't. You do not want to be in a supermax prison in the province of Ontario. This is not the place for anybody to be. Supermax prisons in Ontario, they have infringed on every human right that everybody here has. I'm looking forward to seeing you all as soon as I'm able to get out of here. I don't know when that's going to be, but we will keep you posted. Thank you, Canada. KevinJJohnson.ca. Donate, please. We got to get these charges dropped. Thank you all. Ed?
Yep.
All right, listen.
And that's the end of it.
Wow. That's to say that's mind-blowing would be an understatement, but in the same mouthful, we all know that this has been unraveling and coming in our society for the last 3 or 4 years, but we're seeing it ramping up right now, guys, in ways that I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming, but it's here and it's in our face now. And I've said it many times, I believe they'll come after all of us here in the very near future. And this is just one man that they've really, really taken after. Well, if we don't speak up for Kevin at this point, there's going to be nobody left to speak up for us when it comes our time. blows me away, guys, but it doesn't really blow me away because we know how extreme they're going to go. And I know that they're listening to this conversation right now. I know that government agencies and our algorithms, and there is definitely people listening to what we're saying right now. But you know what? I can't shut up. I don't care what they do to me. I cannot shut up, and I won't shut up. They want us to shut up. They want us to stand in fear. Well, to hell with you guys. Maybe you'll think about this a little bit more and understand that you're just a pawn one step above us in the rung of the big game, that you're going to be disposed of just as quickly as the rest of us when the time comes. You think you got a ticket in the big game? You're wrong. You're just being used. Maybe you should listen to what we're saying on some of these radio shows because we're only trying to save your life. Go ahead, guys.
Actually, Barry, you and I, and guys like Ed are going to go to re-education camp.
Yes, we are.
Whereas
vaccinations.
Well, whereas the Pollies and so forth, who are the useful idiots today, will be walked out the back door and shot in the back of the head as useless eaters tomorrow.
Well, and especially
it's right out of the page of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. That's exactly what they did to the academics and those that supported the revolution. They were the useful idiots. And then when it came time for them to have a seat at the table, they opened the back door. They invited them out the back door into a big ditch, put a bullet in the back of their head, and called them a useless eater. And that was the end of it.
Doug, are you referring to the likes of Antifa?
Sure, okay.
that peaceful organization called Antifa?
There you go. The I saw
an ad in the paper here for professional protesters, man. They fly you around all over the place. They put you on boats. I mean, they're in British Columbia. We had a bunch of them standing in front of our city hall here this week, and I very kindly got out of my truck and walked up and confronted them and asked them very loud, hard questions about exactly who they were and who was signing their paychecks. And they didn't like what I had to say to them, guys, at all. I called them out big time right in front of people that were standing there listening to their crock of bull crap coming out of these people's mouths. White people. Professional protesters. They $400 a day they pay you. And they put you take you around from site to site. This group that protests, get a load of guys in terrorists here. The group that shows up, they show up at our city hall. They're there for about an hour and a half, and then they're gone. Because what their circuit is they start up in Kitimat in the morning. They do their protest up there. They jump on their bus. They come down to Prince Rupert or Terrace. Then they do their demonstration there. Then they go down to Prince Rupert, and they do their demonstration there. Then that's their day. You know, that's their eight-hour day. And these guys are all paid protesters, and we're finding this all out now. And the government, what are they doing about it? We don't know.
Nothing.
Absolutely, nothing. Because it's all part of the agenda, Doug. You know that, and I know that.
That is correct.
Go ahead. I'll let you talk for a minute.
No. That's correct. I agree with you. I think you're doing a great job there. I'm kind of lucky. I live here in Toronto. I moved the wrong way. I actually used to live in Vancouver many years ago, but I moved the wrong way. And so the whole city is in full agreement with the protesters, except for me, of course. But don't forget that the whole city actually voted for what's his name in Ottawa again?
we agreed we're not going to talk about that today, okay?
Exactly.
We're going to have to say his name some point here.
Well, but, you know, we call him the libtard in Ottawa, okay? And so that just kind of everybody knows who that is. But and the problem is that with what they're trying to do, once again, is to give themselves cover as to what's happening on the world stage. And what's happening on the world stage is what we were talking about when we first opened up the radio show this afternoon, was that the financial markets, they need to give themselves cover because the collapse of their currency system is going the way of the dodo bird. And now they want to reintroduce a new fiat currency. But the only way they can do that is to bring chaos into the markets and then pretend to be the saviors by bringing in a new currency. It'll still be a fiat currency. But at the end of the day, they believe that way they can consolidate all their power.
Well, what we're talking about is a a financial false flag is what we're talking about.
Well, in a manner of speaking,
is what we're talking about right now. Where, of course, you know, the problem's going to arise and the government's going to be the savior and come up with a solution. And all you guys got to do now, well, we've got a new solution to it there, but you're going to have to go down to the doctor's office and get the chip inserted into your wrist because everything's going to be done off an RFID chip. And if you don't like it, what are you going to do? If we're put into a situation, say we're put into a situation as a society that we cannot function unless we oblige their demands. In other words, all exchanges, because of the collapse of the current system, they bring in a new system, they lay down the new laws. And if you don't fall within those laws, and you don't abide by those agreements and regulations and all the other things they're going to be telling us, then you have no way of continuing to do commerce, to go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. You lose that ability. It's I can see that being really unleashed on society here, and it's all being set up right now as we're talking, Doug.
Well, and you know that old expression, the best laid plans of mice and men are sure to go awry. And the fly in their ointment is the BRICS nations and the Monaco Accord nations. 162 Monaco Accord nations and the BRICS nations have already set up when this Western system collapses. They flip the switch. They've already got their fiber cable already installed, going throughout all their countries, and they're going to a gold-backed currency. They're going to a multipolar world. And Canada, we sit in a very unique position here in Canada. I'll tell you why. Because in 1931, when they didn't federate a federal authority and seat a sovereign de jure government in the federal authority, the provinces now today, guess what they get to do? They get to be seat sovereign de jure governments in the provinces. Now they get to join the multipolar world because the U.S. empire is in its final stages of collapse. What happens to an empire when it collapses? Well, the last empire that collapsed financially was the Roman Empire. And if you recall what happened there, wasn't it the mercenary army that came home and sacked Rome, put all the senators and all the Congress up against the wall and chopped their heads off?
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe we could be in for something like that?
Yeah, but back then they were using swords. Things have changed a little bit now. And but my only, you know, we get into this conversation with a lot of people about armed confrontation against the government. And I've always maintained that if we go into an armed confrontation against the government, we're going to lose, Doug.
The only reason I say that is that
You know, they have technology that's, you know, 15 or 20, maybe even more years ahead of what we're actually allowed to know about. And if we think about that for a minute, we look at some of the toys they have now, and we think about directed energy weapons, we think about what they can do with hologram technology, what they can do with nanotechnology, how far they've advanced with nanotechnology now absolutely blows my mind. It really does. I thought when I first heard about them being able to take radio transmitters and nano-sized particles now and actually have a radio transmitter in a nano-sized particle that they can get into your body without you even knowing it. We're talking about stuff that's really, you know, it's out there in space. And then we think about technology that's 10 years possibly ahead of that. And, you know, I've always maintained that if we go to a physical armed revolution against the government, we're going to lose. And that's only because I believe they possess these little toys for that day, Ed and Doug. So what do you think
of that? Actually, Barry, you're missing one very critical, extremely critical point.
Okay.
And it's not that we are going to go lift arms against the government, because you're right, we don't have that opportunity. But don't forget, the government hires mercs. The military in Canada is paid for with Canadian dollars. The military in the U.S. is paid for with U.S. dollars. When those currencies become worthless, absolute toilet paper, what do you think those trigger pullers are going to pull the trigger on? Are they going to go allow their families to starve to death to protect a Polly and his family? Or do you think maybe they'll put the Polly and his family into the ground and steal whatever they've collected for themselves, take it home to his family, for his wife and kids and his mother and father? Because that's the one thing everybody forgets about. Oh, well, they got the big military. They can come in and they can do it. Yeah, but they have to pay that military with U.S. dollars. And when the collapse of the U.S. dollar, because they won't get the support on a global stage. As a matter of fact, Russia and China and the Monaco Accord nations are waiting for that tipping point to come. They will accelerate that tipping point to make that crash happen a lot faster so that it actually wipes out the empire quickly. because you want to cut the head off the snake as fast as you can when they're in a position that they can't come back from. In other words, as they're collapsing, as the acceleration goes through, they'll accelerate it even faster because they know that, the Americans have that little football, what they call the football, where they could push that sore losers button. But if they could defeat that timeline and accelerate them beyond that, it's like when they go, if you put a stop loss on your stock and they jump the stop loss on you so that you get wiped out. Well, if that's the same thing, they can jump the stop loss on that acceleration and make it go even faster. They won't have the opportunity to do anything. In other words, the military will have already overthrown government of the United States and the final empire, and that'll be it. It'll be over. We come back to the same thing that happened in Rome. The legionnaires went back to Rome. They weren't being paid, so they took it out on the Congress, the senators.
It's funny how history always repeats itself.
That's exactly it, because we got to remember that this whole thing runs on U.S. dollars. When you take that element away, what happens? You don't have to pull the trigger. You don't need a gun. Gosh almighty, their own people will kill them for you.
Yeah, out of chaos will come control, though. We've got to remember that that's going to be done for a reason. And when that does happen, when society's put into that state of chaos, they'll basically kind of reach out and take any answer that's given to them, you know? So a lot of people are going to be deceived by what goes on.
Well, and it'll be also the balkanization of the United States. And the balkanization is what they did in Yugoslavia. They've tried to do to the Stans after the collapse of the USSR. And right. Now it's going to be done to them.
Full circle. Well,
balkanization has already started, hasn't it, in Virginia? They're trying to there's counties trying to join West Virginia right now?
Yeah. But here's real balkanization means to break it up. Properly, and I've seen plans literally from the U.S. military breaking up the U.S. into four corridors, into four separate small countries. And so, it whether that happens or not, I have no idea. But at the end of the day, the lines of balkanization will form themselves once the empire collapses, and there's nothing they can do to stop that. The only thing that they could possibly do to stop that today, okay, would be to bring the United States back under constitutional common law and close Congress de jure rather than sine die, which they've been doing since 1860, and then bring in constitutional money and then get rid of the Federal Reserve, round up all the banksters on Wall Street and all the Federal Reserve people over the years and put them against the wall and shoot them all. Make the people see that they're actually going to clean up and bring back the will of the people. And that's the only way they're going to do that. They're going to have to go and bend the knee to we the people, because that's the sovereign. The United States needs to come back underneath the sovereign. It's the only way it'll win and be able to take its place on the world stage in a multipolar world.
Well, the way things are going right now, if we don't put a stop to what's going on in Canada or get people on board with tangible solutions, we're going to lose it. We are. Because we see how far the United Nations tentacles already are in our country. Steve just wrote there in chat that he says there's 700,000 U.S. troops in the United States right now. Is that true, Steve?
UN. UN troops. UN,
all right, now this UN, thing is supposed to be being recorded.
In the United States right now.
You guys got
nothing. Where would you get those? I don't know. It has nothing to do with us, but it,
no.
In the same mouthful, it does. I just wondered where you got those.
Let me tell you a quick story. I know about UN troops. I had a mining operation that I worked over in Cote d'Ivoire, and we were over there during the election where they elected the democratically elected their new president, and then the UN and the World Bank stepped in and said, "Nope, we're tearing up your constitution, and this is the guy you're going to have as your president." He works for us at the World Bank, and they started a civil war. Well, the civil war lasted for a few months, and then they sent in the UN troops. And the UN troops went to all the villages and raped the children. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. They didn't do anything to stop the fighting. They raped the little girls, the little boys, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old children. That's what they did. They raped them. And then in some instances, they killed them. So what did the people do? Well, they rounded up all the they went around and they ambushed a lot of these troops. There was one in particular. There was a group of UN troops of about 30. I think it was 30, 28 or 30 of them. They rounded them. They captured them. Their equipment was sitting on the side of the road. All of their guns, everything was sitting on the side of the road. They took them back to their village. They cut off their private parts, mm-hmm. and then they fed them to the river crocodiles, and they disappeared them. So if you think you've got to fear UN troops, then you have to be a 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old little girl or a little boy to fear them, because these people are not military. These people are scum, and they are not to be feared.
But, Ed, I didn't say they were military.
No, I say, but people get the idea that these guys are military and so forth, where they're just there to satisfy the illusion of power, because the UN has no power.
The only power is the power we give them. What they're doing right now in our country is they're being propped up and supported by our government. We see all these new resolutions coming through our government. They have no place in this country. I'm drip right in British Columbia and the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Rights. So we look at the implications of that, what it's going to do to our society.
Can I say something?
We don't put a stop to that.
Barry?
Period.
Yes. But if you read the paperwork, what's happening is that they're creating legal fictions. They have no allodial title to any land being given to them because the provincial governments and the federal governments don't have the ability to do that as a maritime incorporations. They don't have land under their feet. They can't transfer allodial title.
I understand.
They don't have that title. We do. We the people have the title.
I understand that, Ed, but as long as the people keep voting for this system, they keep capitulating and acquiescing to their...
Oh, but it's coming. It's actually changing. We are starting to get busier and busier and busier at the Mythos Canada. Right now, we've got a beautiful toehold coming into Ontario, the largest province, the highest population, and we've got meetings set up for constitutional committee meetings in this province.
I understand. I understand the argument for the de jure governments, both U.S. and Canada. I get that. They are false governments. They are. Donald J. Trump is the president of the corporation, United States of America. United States Corporation. That's what he's president of. Justin Trudeau is the president or prime minister of your corporation. I get
he's
that.
The captain of the ship.
I get that. I get that argument. I totally get that. But I've been saying that for 6.5 years. I'm blue in the face to saying that. People are not going to get it until there's a revolution. A hot war.
That's coming. That's coming there, Steve.
It's going to take a hot war.
Not so much here in Canada, but sure as heck coming down in the U.S.
I went through all these scenarios in my head 10 years ago when I started doing this. These people will not relinquish their power and control without a physical struggle, period.
Out of their cold, dead hands, we shall pry.
End of sentence.
Yep, exactly.
Do you know that there are 80 million, think of that number, patriots in patriot organizations across the United States?
Yes, over.
I'm going back probably 10 years now.
Over
80 million.
Over 400 million guns into legal, legal owners' hands.
When I was in the U.S., I was doing that movie, Bamboozle, the Receding of the Republic. And I worked with another gentleman, Tim, who would go out to these various patriot organizations. He traveled across the United States visiting the patriot organizations and talking to them about what we were doing at Bamboozle, the reseating, and what Madsen was doing about reseating the Republic. And it was amazing. He brought me into some meetings in Alabama where he was at, where 5,000, 10,000 people were at. They all knew me. They all knew my name. I was like really quite amazed at how the information had permeated into these organizations. And I'm thinking, oh my God, if the United States government ever really pisses these people off to a point where they will take up arms, it will be a very short civil war and there won't be a Democrat left within the United States.
Why do they still keep calling themselves Democrats? They've got nothing to do with democracy.
Okay.
Demo rats, we call them, man.
Well, they're also. Do you know that the Democrats were the party that started the Ku Klux Klan back after the Civil War?
all kinds of stuff they've done in their history that most people aren't aware of, Doug, that if they were aware of, they'd look at them with a different light. You look at everything they've been involved in the last 200 years, and there's no democracy in that party, that's for sure. A bunch of Jesuits is what they are.
I don't cross that line. I'm sorry. I don't know. I wouldn't know to say yes or no to that.
Okay.
That's more your ballywick.
That's okay. Well, just anyways, what we see going on in the States right now is crazy, but it doesn't matter where we look right now in the world. We seem to be seeing craziness.
It affects the whole
order. Seems to be the order of the day. You see these locusts, in Africa and what they're doing to it over there, Doug? Have you followed that at all? I mean, I'm not trying to change subject, but it's something.
No, a little bit.
It's unbelievable.
The Americans are building new bases in Africa because their way of dealing with the Africans is at the point of a gun, and saying, "Get the fuck off our get the fuck
one
off."
More time.
Sorry. Yes, I forgot. But they say, "Get the f off your land, so we can steal your resources at the point of a gun." Okay. The Chinese come in with suitcases full of money and they say, hey, look, we want to help build your infrastructure. We want to raise you out of poverty and we want to buy your resources. Once your infrastructure is in place, that way we can buy your resources. And so the Chinese are in there and it's amazing how they're signing up people for the BRI, where the Americans are in there with guns saying we're just taking your resources. We're not going to pay you for them at all because they belong to us because we're the empire. So, yeah, what's going on in Africa is really bad because that's what's happening right now. There's the Americans in there with their guns saying, get off of your land so we can steal your resources. And there's Chinese coming in on the other side saying, wait a minute, we're going to build port infrastructure, we'll build rail infrastructure, we'll build highway infrastructure, and then we're going to buy your resources. So we'll elevate you.
Well, you know that Turkey and Russia are actually almost in a war right now as we talk, eh? Armed conflict. There's an arms. What's not being reported much on mainstream, but
well,
there's actual armed confrontation going on between Turkey and Russia right now as we speak.
Well,
it seems to be escalating.
The Turks shot down two Syrian Su-24s this morning on the overnight.
Right. I saw that.
The Russians bombed and killed 33 Turkish troops that were protecting ISIS and Al-Qaeda over there. They actually have the 29, there's 29 stations, and the Al-Qaeda and terrorists, ISIS, stay within those stations, and they're surrounded by Turkish troops. So the Turkish troops are actually being human shields for the terrorists under orders of Erdogan. So the Russians said, okay, well, you want to protect the terrorists? Cool, we're going to bomb the terrorists. And if you happen to be there, oh, well. And
so if
Turkey was actually to, because they first of all, Turkey's in Syria. They're inside Syria. They're not outside Syria. They're inside Syria. So they're an invading force. And so they turned to NATO and they said, NATO, you've got to help us. And NATO said, wait a minute. If Russia comes into Turkey, we could possibly help you. But you're in a foreign land. We're not going to help you. They asked for the Patriot missile system. I had to laugh because the Patriot missile system takes exactly zero missiles out of the air when it's fired. It's what the Israelis call Iron Dome, which they've actually been able to fix it to take 25% of the missiles. They still haven't got the other 75 still come through, but they can take 25% out. But the S-400 takes 100%. So sure, Trump, give Erdogan the Patriot missile system because it just makes it easier for the Russians because they'll just bomb where the radar comes out of.
The S-400, is that an American system?
No, that's the U.S. That's a Russian system.
That's a Russian system.
Yeah. Then they got the S-500 coming out in 2 years.
What about this hypersonic missile I keep hearing about coming out of Russia? Do you know anything about that?
Several of them. There's a whole bunch of different ones.
How fast do these things fly?
Well, it depends which one you're looking at. The fastest one is called a hypersonic glide missile, which does Mach 19.
Mach 19.
Which 19 is times 7, the speed of sound.
Okay, so that's 7. That's almost 14,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, and it's the one that carries the multiple nuclear warheads that come over Antarctica that the U.S. has no defense for.
So 14,000 miles an hour, if that was fired from a base in Russia, would hit North American targets in about, let me see.
Well,
over the North Pole, 35 minutes.
Doesn't come over the North Pole. It comes from Antarctica.
Okay.
So it comes up your southern borders in the U.S. And this way, the Russians did that so that they don't have the fallout coming over Canada.
Well, I wonder why they want to do that for us.
Because we're very reasonable.
We're in the future plans. Hey, some place to go after everything's too radiated to live on.
Well, no, you think about this. If Russia and Canada are connected through the Arctic, and the Russians and the Canadian, well, the people here in Canada could make good business. The Russians just want to do good business. They don't want to go to war. Look at how many times they could have gone to war, okay, and decided against it. When the democratically elected government in the Ukraine was overthrown by the Zionazis in the U.S., could they have gone to war when Donbass came under fire? Sure, they could have. They could have invaded Ukraine and overthrown the neo-Nazi government. But then again, they would own it at that point, and they didn't want ownership of the Ukraine because the Ukraine is a failed state. So they left. They took Crimea because the Crimeans said we want to join Russia again because that's where we were always going to be part of. So they joined up, but they left Donbass, and they left that for a reason because they knew that the Ukraine was a failed state and the Americans had to pay for it. So it's the Americans' problem. So the American taxpayer has been covering all of the problems within the Ukraine, and the Americans are really PO'd. Because the Russians didn't invade and take it over and then own it. And then because now the Americans are winding up having to suffer through this debt. It's kind of funny, isn't it? And don't think for a minute that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden didn't make millions of dollars off of taxpayer graft that they were pumping into the Ukraine, that they were backhanded.
And the thing about this whole thing with the Bidens is there's so much evidence there. It's mind-boggling if you look into it, Doug. I mean, what they did, they should all be they all should be in jail right now. But we hear crickets from the judicial system. What's going on? What is going on there? You mean the judicial system is not working for the people anymore? How can that be?
It works. It works against the people. But
of course it does. I think it's decent.
I know you are. Look at Hillary Clinton and Uranium One. She took, what was it, $168 million into her back pocket to put that deal together?
And we still hear crickets about that. All this criminality inside the U.S. government, we're all sitting here going, when are the indictments coming? When are they going to jail? And then we got to realize that, you know what, that ain't going to happen because the swamp is very, very deep. It's beyond, you know, it's just like, look what's going on with the RCMP in Canada right now. It's a joke that we got Brenda Leckie in there. And if you look into her history and how she was appointed by Justin Trudeau and her background and who she's tied into and who she's related to in the government, it's just a revolving door of people that are so crooked. The RCMP are on stand down orders in this country. They're supposed to be our law enforcement agency. And it's a joke because if they were enforcing the law in this country, Doug, Trudeau would be in jail right now.
And the problem is that we don't actually have law in Canada. We have color of law or the illusion of law.
The illusion of law.
It applies to us, the people, but it don't apply to them because that it's not real law. Because if we had law of the land, they would all be strung up. They would be hanging by now because you can't infringe upon the unalienable rights of we the people, the sovereigns. We are the sovereigns. And if you infringe upon our rights, you go to the gallows every time.
Getting the general population to realize this, Doug, is the biggest obstacle I see right now is to making people realize how much power they actually have.
Yeah, but that's okay. They're waking up, my friend. They are waking up.
Well, we're going to get into a situation in this country in the next little while. If you look what's going on in Canada right now, if you look at our economy, you look at what exactly is going on in the country, how it's being undermined, how every aspect of what it means to be a Canadian is being undermined in our society. Our government is talking about bringing in a million refugees a year now into this country. Do you know what that's going to do to our social and our cultural fiber of our society, folks?
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work at all. It's not designed to work, Doug.
No, Barry, they won't be around that long, okay?
If, well, if, I hope you're right.
If if we see an election in the U.S. this year, I come back to the economics of all of this. And all of the big name economists from the City of London, from Wall Street, from up at Basel, Switzerland, guess what's in Basel? The BIS. You know what right. The BIS is, right?
I know what that stands for. Refresh me.
It's the Bank of International Settlements.
Right. Okay.
It's the central bank for central banks. So all these economists from all across the Western world are going, in all likelihood, this year we'll see the collapse of the Federal Reserve note denominated as the U.S. dollar. So if that should happen before the election, you're not going to get an election in the U.S. It'll be civil war. If it should happen just after the election, then you're going to wind up in civil war. So what happens in Canada is the collapse of the U.S. dollar because the Canadian dollar is tied to it. And guess how many ounces of gold we have in our central bank?
Zero.
Now, I say ounces because that's all there are. There are 77 ounces in the Canadian central bank.
Okay. 77 ounces. We're rich. We're rich. Everybody retire. Take a holiday. We sold all our gold off. That's Justin Trudeau for you.
But here's the funny thing. So if the fiat currency system collapses, 77 ounces could be worth, you know, quadrillions of dollars. And we could pay off the global debt with our 77 ounces.
Has anyone noticed what's happening with XRP, the crypto, and how it's trading huge numbers between the United States and Mexico?
Let's take a quick look at the XRP right now on the exchanges, for example. Okay, we'll take a quick dip. I'll just bring it up here. I got my cryptocurrency market. Okay, XRP is now trading at, oh my goodness, that's amazing. It's up to 22 cents. Their market share is actually quite big. It's 43 billion, which is almost three times what Bitcoin is. But at 22 cents, to be honest with you, XRP has a very, very long way to go. And it probably won't make it in time.
Interesting.
It's an interesting way that they set this up through there's an underlying interconnectivity between the Western banks in this, but will it actually be able to be supersede and be brought up in time as the alternative after the collapse? I don't think so, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm wondering if this is somehow tied into the Rothschilds, and maybe they set this up, or the international bankers set this up to be the replacement for the American dollar.
No, this was set up privately by a bunch of computer guys. Jamie Nix, actually, he was the one. Well, I think Jamie's a computer guy. You know Jamie Nix, right, guys?
Yep. Yeah, I know Jamie.
He's a computer guy first and a country western singer second. So his primary career is in computers. And he's a really smart guy when it comes to this stuff. If you want to find out more about XRP, that's the guy to talk to as far as that stuff goes. I'm really kind of out of my element when it comes to the specifics on that. He and his wife have taken and done a pretty steep investment in that, and so he's been following it right out of the inception. My personal opinion is I don't believe that this will be instituted in time for them to swap it out. I think the currency collapse. And the way that they're – because the way the currency system is structured today, and they still haven't got people to accept the cryptocurrencies, okay, as a way of use. Today, even today, you know, you could talk about Bitcoin. You could talk about Ethereum. People look at you, what the hell is Ethereum? They don't know. But most people have heard of Bitcoin, but they have no idea how to use it. They have no idea on what a wallet is, or how to use an online wallet compared to a Trezor offline wallet, and what that means, et cetera, et cetera. And so they think that, you know, you get your Bitcoin in your wallet. You actually don't. The only thing that comes into your wallet is the location on the blockchain where your Bitcoin is. And that's your private location, and that's what's in the wallet, not the actual Bitcoin, because the Bitcoin doesn't leave the blockchain. It's just bits of code. You got to remember that. It's just code.
Hmm.
So but so how do you utilize this? XRP is the same thing. It's just code. And when you have an XRP wallet, you don't actually have the XRP in the wallet. You just have the location on the blockchain where the XRP is. And that's the same for all cryptocurrencies. But people don't get that. I mean, that's basic crypto 101. Okay, so I just gave your listening audience crypto 101. And I can't go beyond that because my knowledge base doesn't go beyond that. I mean, I play around in the Bitcoin world from time to time. I own some Bitcoin. I might trade some Bitcoin from time to time. But as far as getting involved in it any deeper than that,
I don't do it either, buddy. But you know what? 7 years ago when I first started radio, Paul Hayden at Dark City Radio in England told me about Bitcoin, told me to go buy as many as I want right now for a dollar a piece. This is when they first heard about it.
Yep.
I could have bought as many Bitcoins as I wanted when I first heard about it for $1 a piece. You think I'm not kicking myself in the butt a couple times? I laughed at it when I first heard about it, Doug. I thought it was just a scam.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine.
I had that opportunity to go buy me. Go ahead.
He bought, when it was $3 a coin, he bought $27,000 worth at $3 a coin. Back then, they had a wallet, but you only had one address. You didn't have a back. Today, they have all, they're different, the offline wallets, they all have back doors so that you can go in if you lose your, but his girlfriend was cleaning up his desk, and on a scrap of paper that he had written the address of the wallet on, she had thrown it out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And it went into the incinerator because it's paper, so they incinerated it. So he got $27,000 or $27,000 $3 a coin of Bitcoin. When Bitcoin went up to $10,000 to $20,000 a coin, he had no way to access it. It was lost and gone forever.
Wow.
How's that for breaking your heart?
Yeah, well, that's about the same as the story I just told you about, because I kind of laughed at Paul when he told me about it. He said, Barry, you buy these things and one day they're going to be worth lots of money. And I kind of really, honestly, I just laughed at it. I didn't follow up on it, and I should have, but that's life. Hey, we all make those, I wish I could have done it kind of moments. And, that's one that I'll regret, because $1,000 back then, I'd be sitting pretty nice right now. Well, in my retirement.
And the problem with that, Barry, is that even to this day, most people have no clue as to how Bitcoin works or how cryptocurrencies work.
Well, I'm one of those people.
Well, and so how do you install a cryptocurrency cashless society? And the bigger thing here is, in a cashless society, this is the one thing that these idiots don't take into place, is that first and foremost, how does the CIA raise its black money?
Hmm.
Well, they run the heroin operation out of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Under the Taliban, they had 3% of the world market. Now, under the CIA, they have 97% of the world market in heroin. Okay, so how does the CIA raise money for its black ops? Well, through the heroin trade. Okay, so what about the mafias, the various mafias around the world that do sex trade and body part trade and all this stuff? That's all cash. So you're telling me that the mafia is going to allow these politicians and bankers to put through a cashless society? Yeah, I could see Christine Lagarde kind of disappearing, vanishing. Well, what happened to Miss Lagarde? She was here yesterday, but now we can't seem to find her anywhere. You know?
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a struggle on that one, Doug, because we're going to see the push for a cashless society. We see a lot of countries now talking that way. Sweden made an announcement there a little while ago that they plan on being cashless by the middle of next year, right?
No, Sweden backed off that. Oh, baby. Yeah, because they got down to 2% of the population was using cash, and they lost control. The government lost control of the currency. They no longer had control. It was now controlled by the bankers. And they backed off of cashless. They went, oh, no. They actually increased the amount of cash back into the society so that they maintain their control.
Well, that must have just happened here in the very last little bit, because I was just following that story a little while ago.
Yeah.
So I better get updated on the story because I hadn't heard that. But
yeah, because that story that you just said is probably 8 or 9 months ago. And then
I'm out of date. Slap me, guys.
It's okay. But it was late summer, early fall that they realized that they didn't have control over the currency anymore, which is the one thing government doesn't want to do. They don't want to give up control over anything.
We're down to the last about 8 minutes here. Ed, we haven't heard much from you. You got something you must want to say here.
There's a question that's been itching at me for the last half hour. Doug, can you explain to the listeners exactly, and myself, what happened in the United States in the 80s and how the government actually lost control of common law and all that other stuff, and what sitting a de jure or fine die means?
Sign die. Yeah, 1860. We have to go back to Abraham Lincoln ending Congress when the Southern states left Congress. He didn't close Congress. In other words, he didn't end Congress de jure and then went away. He ended Congress sine die, means without day, and it left it open. And he did that so that he could have the War of Northern Aggression. In other words, they had abandoned Congress, so they were the bad guys, and we needed to get them back to bring them back into the fold under the Union of the United States Constitution. And hence, the War of Northern Aggression started and ended in 1865. And during the time that Lincoln was supposed to go back to Congress and do that, he was shot in the back of the head by John Wilkes Booth, the Rothschilds' assassin, because he turned the Rothschilds down of borrowing money at 13% interest for the war. He said, "You're crazy," and he walked away. But they did him in. John Wilkes Booth put a bullet in the back of his head. And what happened is that the Congress remained open. So the new president came in and went, we have an opportunity here, and ended Congress sine die, which means that it left it open. And so they created the 14th Amendment U.S. citizen. If you read the Constitution of the United States, it does not confer citizenship on we the people. Why? Because we the people are the sovereigns. The only time that it's mentioned citizenship within the Constitution, it says, is when you become a public servant, you become a citizen of the United States. Okay? That means that if you're a president of the United States, during your presidency, you are a citizen of the United States under the Constitution. In other words, you've left your sovereignty at the door. You're now a civil servant. Moving on. 1871, they decided that the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1803, which sat the de jure constitutional republic government, needed to have a new District of Columbia Organic Act to seat, because they wanted to move it from common law into admiralty maritime jurisdiction. So they created the District of Columbia Organic Act 1871. Actually, it didn't work because it was a direct mirror of the original constitutional government. So they repealed it in 1874 and then reenacted it in 1878, so that it was just three positions within that District of Columbia that was now the seat of the de facto corporate United States government.
Barry, can I add something there?
We only got a couple minutes left, gentlemen. I don't want to cut you off, but this sounds like conversation for another show, Doug. For
sure. Barry.
Barry. I need to be educated. Yes, Steve.
Can I add 10 seconds?
You go right ahead.
Okay, Doug, I don't want to argue semantics or anything, but the Secret Service, or the Pinkertons, I think they were known as back then, they're the ones that killed Lincoln. They had two armed guards that were removed from that door up in the balcony. That night.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Wilkes Booth was blamed for it. It's the same way that Lee Harvey Oswald was blamed for killing Kennedy. We know who killed Kennedy. It certainly wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
We all know that. I agree. So, hey, listen, last minute here. Doug, you're welcome. You guys are welcome to stick around for the next hour. I know that Sean Artson's going to call in, and Dave Delisle, who was a PPC candidate in the last election, he's going to call in. He wants to have a chat. But you're welcome to stick around, but we're going to take a break here in about a minute or two. But yeah, we'll just tell people where they can find you, Doug. If you want to hang around, like I said, you're more than welcome to hang around for the next hour.
Well, as people know, I'm at themythiscanada.ca. You can come on our website. We have the timeline up there, tell you what happened here in Canada. You can catch us on YouTube at Nephilim Films Presents The Myth is Canada, where we do roundtable events, and they're all posted up there as well. We have a Brighteon channel at The Myth is Canada on Brighteon, where we have, I think, about 26 or 27 videos of explaining to the people what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we're up on Facebook, on the Myth is Canada Facebook group as well. So I'm not hard to I'm easy to find, not hard to get rid of.
Well, I know you do a lot of work online, and you're on a lot of shows, and you're talking a lot, Doug. So I appreciate what you do, and I'm sure a lot of other people appreciate what you're doing. We all got to kind of chip in right now, because we're in some pretty crazy times. Ed, do you want to say something? Like I said, you're both welcome to sit around. I'm going to have to take a break here in a minute, or my bladder's going to explode. I drank too many coffee today. And I know that we have a couple of people calling in for the second hour, but you're more than welcome to hang around.
I'll see you on the other side there, Barry.
Okay. Well, listen, folks, look, I'm going to take, like I said, about, I don't know what Steve's got lined up for music, but we're going to take 2 or 3 minutes here for a break.
About 5 and a half.
Yeah, and I'll be back after the break. And like I said, Doug, if you want to hang around, you're more than welcome. I'm going to hear a little bit about what Sean wants to talk about, attacks on free speech in Canada and what he's going through, very similar to what Kevin Johnson's experiencing right now. I'll be back in a few minutes, guys. Welcome back to the second hour, guys. Thanks again, Doug Forrest and Ed, stuck around for the second hour here. I've got Dave Delisle in with me, and I'm expecting to have Sean Artisan in. Ertzen, I hope I pronounced that correct. In the next couple of minutes, he wanted to talk about some of the attacks that he's experiencing on free speech in Canada. We are absolutely seeing this being ramped up on us right now at light speed. Dave, would you say that's an understatement? Welcome to the show, Mr. Delisle. Always good to have you back in.
Thank you. And hi, everybody. Yeah, I do. I say it's definitely an understatement. The attacks on everything free speech is just crazy. And even now, the fact-checking that Facebook is doing is all done by leftists, and it's all twisted.
We're actually right now, we've had this this conversation in the first hour, Dave, that it seems to be a all-out attack right now. That we see them trying to regulate radio stations. We see them try to regulate media. We know they're going to try and shut down the Rebel. Because it is the one outlet in Canada right now that's actually putting out pertinent information that Canadians need to hear. And if they shut down the Rebel, then we truly have lost all ability to even see correct information in Canada. But that's where they're going right now.
Even True North. True North is another one. They're putting out factual information, and they're getting flack from the government. They're trying to shut them down.
Well, look what they're doing to Kevin Johnson, man. Unbelievable, Ed, that he's living, that he is putting up with what he's putting up with right now in a maximum. I don't understand why they've got him in a maximum security facility. I don't understand that.
They don't want him to get the word out.
Well, you know, my understanding of a maximum security facility is murderers, racists, thieves. The worst of our society are in maximum security. Kevin, has he killed somebody? Has he raped somebody? What has he done to deserve this kind of a treatment? Why is the government doing this, and why are they centering on this guy? They want to try and teach us all a lesson that we all got to stand down and shut up, or this is what's going to happen to you.
Well, it's simple. That's exactly why. The government, it's hurting the government. The truth getting out, and Kevin Johnson is not afraid to let people know what it is. It's just that simple. They figure if they go after him that they're going to shut down a lot of us. And I know that I have heard from some of the patriots that they're afraid to say things now because they're afraid to get thrown in jail. Well, the reality is that whether we're thrown in jail or not, the other option is that we're going to be put in prison camps.
Indoctrination centers, buddy. We've got to be re-educated.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeve.
I went to school enough years. I don't need any more. My education's fine.
You've had enough indoctrination there.
Yeah, just enough.
Well, personally, I've been interviewed by the RCMP just over a week and a half ago.
They're really?
Trying to shut me down. Yeah, they're trying to shut me down. I was talking to another ex-retired RCMP officer, a friend of mine, known him for, I don't know, 45-odd years. And he said, they're just fishing. They're just trying to scare you. And he just left it at that. I said, but why would they do it? He says, they're just fishing. They're just trying to scare you. I said, but I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, they're trying to do that with Ezra, and Ezra's fighting back. But Ezra did it right. Levant, I have nothing but respect for the guy, the way he did it.
I, love him or leave him. You know, there's things that he has said on his shows in the past that we're all going to disagree on certain things. But what he has done right now, the stance that guy's taking, there's nobody else in Canada right now standing up for us. Nobody. The mainstream media is all bowing down to this agenda. And if we
got
to
look at it. If we're all going to think alike, we're all going to end up being liberals.
Barry,
that's what they deadly.
Barry, it's going to voicemail.
Please record your message.
It's going to voicemail.
When you finish recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Oh. Okay, well, that was a number I asked you to call. Ed, sounds like you're, or Steve, he's not there right now, so we'll just continue on.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Sean in here. I had a phone number for him, and he's not answering, so I don't know what happened to him, to you guys, but he did contact me earlier and asked to get on the show, and I wanted to talk to him about what's going on. Go ahead.
He probably is censoring him already.
Well, I know that I know having him on the show today was going to bring heat onto my show, but, you know, I don't care at this point. They know who I am. They're listening to our conversation. Even the little guys like me that aren't really, you know, out there with millions of people listening to them. I get a few people listening to my shows. They're going to come after all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're speaking against the government, we're in a situation now. It's so unbelievable that we've allowed this to happen in our country, that we're having this conversation right now. We sound like we're talking in Nazi Germany in 1938 or 1937, the conversation we're having right now. But then if you look at how the 1938 and 1937 in Germany replicate our society, it's the exact thing. What was going on then is going on now, that the Communist Manifesto is the guidebook for everything that's going on in our society. Read it. I haven't read it all, but I understand most of it, and it's exactly what we see going on in our world.
Well, here's one of the key things that people are missing. All these activities are being carried out by non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and there's literally hundreds of them.
Right.
And it all goes back up. It's all funded by a few people. Anybody want to take a wild guess who that may be?
No, it couldn't be the elites, the guys with all the money, the guys that control our world.
Yep, the same people that control all the money in the world, the same people that control all the media, all the print shops, all the newspapers. It's all the same gang.
Well, I shared some stuff today that Trudeau's teaming up with George Soros to bring more people in.
Well, yeah, they're talking a million a year.
George Soros had a meeting with Trudeau. George Soros had a meeting with Trudeau. A few weeks after Trudeau got elected, and it was well publicized.
Yeah, in Davos.
No, 2016, right in Ottawa.
Yeah, well, we also had a two-hour closed-door meeting in Davos between Trudeau and Soros. Closed-door meeting, nobody allowed. Just Trudeau and George having a good old conversation.
Well, George is probably reading them the Riot Act, just like he read Hillary the Riot Act. And if you want your finding, this is what you got to do, right?
Well, yeah, and we see that playing out right now to the T. We look at all the funding that's going on in Canada, uprooting our society and our economy. Look what's going on with these blockades in Canada. What a crock of crap. Where is the rule of law? Well, like we said, it doesn't apply to certain
people. It does apply, but it applies to Canadians only. It doesn't apply to anybody else.
Well, if you're a terrorist, or if you're an environmental terrorist, and you're stopping rail transportation, attacking the infrastructure of the country illegally against court injunctions, and the police aren't standing up and enforcing the laws, finally they were made to do some of these removals. Well, that tells you how far our society has gone.
Well, yeah. If you're a yellow vest, if you're a threeper like me, or anything, you're an extremist. Automatically, you're a racist. And you got guys like Jagmeet Singh calling all Canadians racist, and it's okay to say that about all Canadians, but he doesn't realize that all Canadians consist of many different cultures and backgrounds and colors. It's not just white or black or green or whatever.
Well, to set the record straight, I don't care for alien races. I'm all for the human race. So if that makes me racist, so be it.
Well, hate everybody equally, I guess, is what they want. That's what Trudeau seems to think. You know, the liberals are all taught that. Unless you think like they do, you're hated.
It's a control mechanism.
Well, yeah, sure. Just label us, man. I mean, I'm definitely, by their terms, I'm a white supremacist, bigoted, homophobic Canadian that really doesn't have any place in our society anymore, and I need to be disposed of.
Yeah.
Because I don't like drag queens putting on demonstrations in public libraries to 5 and 6 and 7 year old children. So I'm an oddball by society standard now, apparently.
Well, yeah, I'm against things like, you know, marrying children and beating wives and stuff. I'm against all that, but apparently I'm the oddball too.
Well, just the fact that there's female genital mutilation going on in Canada right now as we talk. Yeah. If that doesn't boil your blood, I don't know what to say. But that's going on in our
society right now. But we do have laws against that stuff. They just don't enforce it unless it's on us.
Well, they turn their eye to this because it's agenda. We realize that this is all agenda. Everything that's going on in our society, everything, it doesn't matter what we talk about or what facet of society, is all part of the agenda. That all these little pieces, even though they don't appear to it on the surface, they all support each other. It doesn't matter what we talk about. It's all to bring the end game where society, oh boy, are we ever becoming a sick society. Now we're going to deal with this man-made virus that all of a sudden has popped up and seems to be achieving a few goals for certain individuals in society. I'm not, you know, this is something I don't want to spend too much time on the coronavirus, but in the same mouthful, it could be something that we all need, are going to have to deal with. I'm not saying it's going to become a pandemic in our country, but it has the potential to do that. It seems to be spreading and growing at an incredible rate. I was looking at the numbers in Iran today, and I'm looking at what's going on in Japan right now, and Korea. I mean, the numbers are definitely expanding at a pretty good rate. So, where it's going to go, worse, I don't want to be a fearmonger, but it, you know what I say? It, at this particular point, it'd be a good idea to put away some food.
Stay deadly.
At the tone, please record your message. When you are finished recording.
I guess Sean got tied up, but
he's not here.
He did reach out to me today and asked to come on the show, so I said, sure, no problem. But anyways, carrying on. Right now, I think a good idea, if we do get into a situation in society that we're talking about, then it's a good idea to have a little bit of food put away so that you can limit your exposure to public if it becomes
food, water, everything.
Yeah, if it becomes a serious situation, you know, I don't want to be a kind of fear-mongering guy, but if anybody that's got a little bit of logic right now, that would be a logical thing to do, okay? Because if you don't need it, you're going to end up using it anyways, right? So you're really not going backwards. You're kind of just taking precautionary right now. I've been listening to Frank Vaughn a lot, guys, and I'd suggest that everybody follows what Frank is saying about this virus. I don't think he's overplaying it. I think some of the information he's putting out right now, if it really doesn't get your attention, then I don't know what to say, but I don't want to overplay it right now, but it is something that we all should be paying attention to.
You know, look at it.
Many agendas are being fulfilled by this all of a sudden appearing in our society.
If you look at it, the information that's coming out just from the governments around the world, other than Canada, because the Canadian government's not really doing enough. But how scared the governments are of this virus. Now you hear things like, well, the 5G is creating the mutations and stuff to that effect. Like, I don't know how much truth there is in that, but these are things that you're hearing. Now, I know 5G is dangerous, but it is possible because I believe that this virus is weaponized.
I believe it is too. I have absolutely no doubt about that. We got to look at where it came from, how all of a sudden it appeared. Now, I read a report this morning that a strain of the AIDS virus has been detected in this COVID-19. If that's a fact, then if that's true, then we absolutely know it's being manufactured. But you look at what's being achieved by this thing all of a sudden appearing on the planet. We could even talk about the elites wanting to do this to take down Donald Trump, to destroy the economies of the world. We see Japan, we see China right down, basically in a grind down to no economy right now, no economic. You look at the cities in China right now, and the air is pristine. I mean, you can actually see across the cities. They haven't seen that kind of thing in a long, long time. But their economy is basically shut down. They're in quarantine. A lot of this information is not getting out. A lot of it is. But if half of it that's getting out I see is true, then I think we have something that we all need to be paying attention to.
Period. Barry, how do we know this isn't another big red flag event?
It could be, Ed. I'm not saying – I've said right along here, I'm not saying that this is going to happen the way it's being played out, and a lot of people are saying it's going to play out. I'm just saying that it's something that everybody's got to look at themselves and judge for themselves how they want to deal with this. Okay. All I'm saying is that it's a good thing to possibly prepare for a bad day. That's all I'm saying, that you don't want to be caught with your pants down, that if this does happen and we see food rushes on grocery stores, and we're seeing that in places where this is appearing, that you don't want to be caught shorthanded. Just look after your family. That's all I'm saying, Ed. Nobody knows sure where it's going, but we are seeing a lot of different stories. So pay attention to about it. That's all.
It's definitely good advice, and it's excellent to be – it's very good and a smart thing to do to be prepared, be a good Boy Scout, because you never know what's coming down the pipe. So, yeah, it's good good advice, and you're not going to lose anything by having extra food at home. That's for sure not.
Well, yeah, it's a win-win. That's a win-win situation. You can always use it, you know. It's always good to have food put away anyways. You don't know, you know, for one day or the next what could happen. I mean, I think for people just – we're talking about this virus right now, but there's – you know, when you think about it and we talk about this locks and we look at all the possible scenarios that could happen that would really kind of bring society to its knees overnight. You know, we talk about this virus. Well, a major financial collapse could also put you in the same kind of predicament where you're kind of bent over the barrel and you don't have a choice about which direction you can go, that you're at the end of a gun. And if you make the wrong move, you're going to get shot. Well, if you prepare yourself for that particular time, then at least you have a little bit of leverage about against what they're going to try and do to society. I've been putting food away for years, guys. I have put away some food. I think that's the smart thing for people to do. If I don't need it, I can always eat it, you know? And so it's really not a losing situation. I think that everybody should have the ability to protect themselves, because if society ever does go rogue, you know, I hope it never does, but if it ever does go rogue, then you're going to want to be able to protect yourself against your neighbor who's going to come and kill you for that loaf of bread you got in the house.
If you look at what's going on, a lot of people are stocking up on military rations, and there's been some shortages that I've heard of military rations, because people are stocking up because they're not afraid of what's going on.
Yeah, all these companies down in the States that provide long life food supplies, like 2 year, 3 year, 4 year supplies, if you look at their websites now, they're sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out, sold out. And backlogs of orders people are wanting to try and stock up. Because people, you know, it's always a good thing to be prepared for the worst rainy day. That's what I say. And if you get caught with your pants down, then, you know, you only have yourself to blame. If you have any kind of ability to kind of prepare yourself a little bit, you'll sleep better.
What do they call preppers?
I just call it being rational about what we see going on. And, you know, the Cascadia right now, we talk about these viruses, we talk about all this political crap that's going on around us, but in the same mouthful, we have a fault line off the West Coast here that is, right now, is in the lines. I just did about three studies on this. I was talking to a professor this week from the University of Southern California, and I'm going to have him on in 2 weeks, but we're going to talk about the Cascadia and why right now that is one of our major concerns, because of the timing on the ruptures on that fault line, how they've gone through sediment layers for tens of thousands of years, and the repeat of the movement on that line is always within, they say, between 230 and 350 years, a margin of error in the middle. But now it's been 272 years since we've had major movement, and it is showing signs of moving. If that happens in our society today, guys, that we're talking about a horror show in real life, not because of the earthquake or the tsunami that's going to follow, because of the nuclear power plants that are currently operating on the West Coast of the United States of America and Canada. And if those nuclear power plants were ruptured the way that they were ruptured at Fukushima, by a 9.2 magnitude earthquake followed by a 60 to an 80-foot tsunami in a 15-minute period, up to half an hour, maybe you're going to have a warning and it's going to hit. We can't even begin to fathom the destruction that the West Coast of North America is going to see. That event could happen in the next 5 minutes.
If you look at all the stuff that's been happening in the South Pacific, all the big quakes that have been going on, and even the smaller quakes, it's all putting pressure on that one.
Well, yeah, they're all kind of connected in one way or the other. You get a major earthquake happening. There is a lot of fault lines right now that I've been studying the San Madre in the center of the United States of America and timing that. It's not really in a high as compared to the rest of the earthquake zones that I've kind of looked at, not in a really high degree of danger right now due to the timing on the movements on that particular plate. But you get a major movement. You get a major movement on any of these big things. Who's to say that it's not going to trigger other fault lines that are ready to move? I mean, the West Coast, San Andreas. Their scientists right now are screaming at the top of their lungs that thing is locked and loaded and ready to go. So, if we could. It's interesting times we live in. Earthquake swarms. We had I forget the numbers I was looking at there last week. We had. I don't have them written at the tip of my tongue, but it was an incredible amount of number fives going off in a 24-hour period.
Yeah, I heard, too.
A lot to do with what's going on out in the universe, I believe, my friend.
Yeah, I heard, too, that the military's building some basically like a small apartment buildings with, reinforced with steel, with concrete and steel to protect the things that they need to protect or people they need to protect in those areas. And they're building them at an exorbitant rate. Whether that's true or not, I know I've seen a couple of things that said they have, but we'll have to see.
Who knows what they're doing, man? They're building tunnels under the United States of America all over the place, and they're ready to go underground when all this crap starts hitting the fan. So who knows what they're doing.
Underground's not a good place for an earthquake, though.
Well, you know, we do live kind of interesting times, don't we? I mean, there's so many things that can affect the Earth and so many things that can affect our society that I kind of get up every day and I just kind of thank God for the day that I got. And, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We kind of live, as far as I'm concerned, on borrowed time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nuclear power, to me, is the biggest insanity that the human race has ever unleashed on itself. And, of course, we're not really to blame for it. It was sold to us as the new cool way to produce power, the end to all problems, no more power. You never have to think about it for the rest of your life. This is the answer to all answers. It was sold to society, but it was never designed for power. It was designed to produce weapons like plutonium for the military industrial complex. That was the reason nuclear power was brought to society. Look at the problems.
There are safer means of to get that much power. It's just that they don't want to use it because it's not effective for what they need it for.
Well, I've got into that conversation so many times on my show, and it just drives me nuts that the human race is so short-sighted that we're now building, nuclear power plants all on top of major fault lines that are going to move in the future, and we know that for a fact. It's just a matter of time. We're building that now. We're telling Mother Nature, now listen to us, Mother Nature, because we built these nuclear power plants here. You cannot move anymore. You have to stop and desist because we cannot have a major earthquake close to one of these power plants because the repercussions could be pretty ugly for the human race. That's what we're dealing with right now. It's just a matter of time before we see one of these events happen. Well, we have seen one of these events happen. It's called
Fukushima. And that's why they want to get rid of the critical thinkers, because they want the people that are going to follow the government's lead. When the government tells them it's safe somewhere, whether it is or not, they believe it.
But, I've always maintained, Dave, I always said, look, this nuclear, all this political stuff, eventually, we as we look at history, we realize, that nations have rose and nations have fallen. But the Earth has always been able to sustain life. But now, since the proliferation of the nuclear bomb and nuclear power and all this nuclear waste that we have on this planet, the implications for human life, for the actual existence of life, is in question. And I say because we look at how many nuclear power plants are actually operating on the planet Earth right now, where these nuclear power plants have actually been built. And I did the study one night, Dave, and it absolutely knocked me off my foot. I was sitting, if I'd been sitting on a chair that was tilted, I would have fallen off the chair. Because I had a printer in front of me with transparent paper. And I tell people to do this, guys. You really want to get shocked, go on your computer, and if you've got transparent paper and a printer, print off on your computer, do a search every known and active nuclear power plant on the planet Earth today, and it'll bring up a picture of the globe, and it'll give you little red dots where every nuclear power plant is operating on the planet Earth today. You do the same search and punch up every known active major fault line on the planet Earth today, and the same map will come up. It'll show you every fault line. And if you lay the two on top of each other, you lay the nuclear power plants on top of the fault line, you'll fall off your chair. because it's like they built them in striking range of these fault lines almost on purpose. Like, why would you do that? You know the potential of rupturing cooling systems in nuclear power plants, the potential of how much nuclear energy is in one of these plants alone, and you're building them right on top of fault lines, and you're telling the Earth that you cannot move again, because if you do, it could be a really bad day for the human race. But we're on ticking time bombs right now, and I don't know what the answer to that is, and maybe I don't think I'm overplaying this. You know, I've thought about this so many times. I've spent hours and hours of my life thinking about this. And I say to myself, I look at what Fukushima has done to the Pacific Ocean. There's so much media quash on what's actually happening right now in the Pacific. But if you really get down to the meat and bones of it, it is going to kill all life eventually in the Pacific Ocean. It's doing it right now as we talk. And that's just the result of one major incident from one major earthquake off the coast of Japan. Well, on the west coast of the United States of America, Mexico, California, Oregon, Washington, they have nuclear power plants operating in direct striking range of the Cascadia subduction, which is one of the most deadly fault lines right now on the planet Earth, with a potential for unbelievable destruction.
So Fukushima, every time it rains now, it's or any kind of water comes down or through, more of it is washing into the ocean.
They will never, you know what? Listen to Dr. Helen Caldicott, guys, just put out another video. And I know some of the stuff that she's put out over the years, some people call it a little bit controversial, but she's pretty on top of what's going on at Fukushima. And what you know, Fukushima, we will never have an answer to the problems there, that this will never go away, that this is something that they don't have an answer for. And this is just one GE Mark I generating system that has gone south. There's 28 of these systems that are identical to the nuclear reactors in Fukushima operating on the planet Earth today. 28 of these GE Mark I's, the worst design ever conceived by the human race for a nuclear generating situation. With schooling, storing your fueling rods in the ceilings of these generators is absolute insanity. Why they're doing this, I don't know. The potential for disaster is incredible. But we also have some good news. We have technology now that can take all this nuclear waste that we've ever created and turn it into energy. Did you know that, guys? That technology exists. And there's a company now that wants to do it, but they're being quashed. Why is that?
Actually, SNC-Lavalin got, I believe they bought that technology from Atomic Energy Canada.
Talk about that for a minute, Ed. Bring them up on that.
Well, that's what I heard. Can I verify it? No, not yet. But when I come across something, I'll sure pass it on to you.
Well, I heard the same thing, and it wouldn't surprise me. But the fact is that we need to start using it, because I kind of looked at some of the reports I'm hearing in the Atlantic Ocean now from these dump sites from the 70s and late 60s, where they were dumping hundreds of barrels of highly radiated water on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. They're jumping in deep water where the salt levels are very, very low, so it takes a long, long time for something to rust out, but eventually they rust out. It's only a matter of time. And
even the mines, the old deep mines that they've been dumping this stuff in, and eventually that's going to get into the ground water somewhere.
I think right now, if the human race was to all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and say that whatever it takes, we're willing to sacrifice to get rid of nuclear power, it would probably take us 100 years to clean up the messes that we already have. The stockpiles of nuclear energy, what we've done to the Atlantic Ocean, what's going on in the Pacific Ocean. Those are major, major questions that need to be resolved right away.
The technology is there.
Well, the technology is there, and yet you still hear crickets from the government. Well, why is that? They want us all to die? Well,
it's all about control.
Well, maybe they do want us all to die, but then the insanity of that is, what's going to be left for them to enjoy when we're all gone? If one of these events happens, like I keep thinking about all the time, major meltdowns on nuclear power plants along the west coast of the United States of America, 8 of them going off at the same time. Two of them Mark ones, two of them.
And the only ones that will be left are Keith Richards and Betty White. I mean, the only ones left.
Oh, anyways, nuclear insanity is what I call it, guys.
It is.
But there's a plant that could really, really go a long ways to fixing everything that we've done so far. Of course, that's the hemp plant. And one day the human race will start embracing that, and maybe, just maybe, we'll have a chance of saving this planet. But
I look at it this way,
Dave. I'm not a doomsayer guy. I am not. I don't consider myself to be a doomsday or a fearmonger type of person at all. I say to myself, I look at a lot of reports all the time, what's going on in the environment, blah, 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 and what's going on with this and the bees and soil and insects. And I go to myself, okay, sure, there's going to be a lot of misinformation out there, but if 50% of what I hear and read is correct, then we have got some very serious problems on our hands that we need to correct, period.
Well, we do, and that's probably why the People's Party didn't get in. Nobody voted for the People's Party because common sense in government is something they've never seen. They're afraid of it.
Well, what about common sense in the normal Canadian human being, man? Canadian that kind of gets a gist for what's going on in this country, sees the direction we're going, and didn't do anything about it. I kind of shake my head because I looked at his platform, I looked at the rest of the platforms, and to me it was a no-brainer. Yet society, I guess in Canada, we're still too comfortable that we haven't really experienced a major depression or a major tough times, seen some of the things like Venezuela or other countries in the world have seen. Maybe if we get to that point and the economy completely falls apart, which it's on the course of doing right now, then maybe Canadians will wake up. Is it going to be too late? I don't know.
Okay, I got to jump in here.
You jump right in there, Ed. I've been waiting to hear from you.
Let's do some math here. Max Bernier with VPC, in 6 months, he managed to get over 30,000 people to sign up to the new party.
Mm-hmm.
How can they only get 300,000 votes through the whole country? That means every person only brought 5 more people with them and within a year and a half? Come on.
The election?
Yeah, and
I ended up with 2.2% of the vote, which was higher than in the higher point of the national average. And I believe that I was screwed out of a lot of votes because I know a lot of people that voted for me. For some reason, it doesn't balance out when I calculate in the amount of people that did vote.
Well, you're not alone, man. Read the article that the Postmillennial just put about election tampering at Elections Canada and what they're starting to find out now and some of the information coming forward. If you think this election was legitimate, you got your head in the sand that this was rigged, absolutely rigged. And now you've got the Bloc. You've got the Bloc in Quebec making deals with the Liberals behind closed doors about how things are going to go on in the government. You think we got any chance, any voice in this country right now? None.
No,
absolutely none. Quebec is running Canada, folks.
Well, it's the Laurentian elite that got the money, along with the George Soros that have the money, and they're setting up the way things are going to be done here. You see it through all the NGOs. And George Soros' voting machines are notorious for getting in whoever he wants to get in. How Trump got in, God only knows.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, Trudeau's whining about all this election meddling. Well, the only one that was election meddling was Greta Thunberg. And what was she doing? Pushing the Liberal agenda.
Yeah, 3 days before an election.
Yeah.
Direct interference against our laws, but our laws don't apply to those people. Just us.
Yeah, they don't apply to Canadians.
Now, another thing you got to consider, the fact that you look lately what's going on with all the suppression of free speech, guys like Kevin J. Johnson going to jail, Ezra being investigated, myself getting interviewed by the RCMP. Most members of the PPC have also been doxxed by the loony left. The fact that they're going to this much trouble means we're making a difference.
Oh, absolutely. They're afraid of us.
Yeah. And they know that the days are, they're in the end of days for themselves. And that's why they're ramping it up so much. That's why they're spending so much money on paid protesters. That's why they're taking every advantage, every crisis, manufacturing crises, doing whatever they can do to keep their agenda going. Because they know they're on the verge of it falling apart. Too many people are waking up.
If you look even across Canada, the amount of 3% groups that are popping up, and I mean realistically, where the 3% groups are coming from is initially from 1776, because 3% of the population stood up and started the fight against the British. And that's where it's been. It's been since 1776. And there's so many people now that are saying to themselves, every day I get more people to come to my group and say, look, you know, I want in. They're seeing what's going on. And they're not liking it. And they say something, and all of a sudden they're the bad guy. Well, I'm not the bad guy. And now they're going. They're looking for groups of patriots that are saying we've had enough.
Well, yep. if we don't
most
do
of them
now,
are women.
If we don't,
most of these people are women.
Boy, more power to them. We've got to get the mothers involved. The power of the mother.
But they're seeing what's happening to the children and the women in places like Toronto and Mississauga and that. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute here. We don't want that happening.
We need 5,000 Laura Lynn Thompsons right now in this country.
Yeah.
We do. Because what's going on in our school systems, what's going on in British Columbia here, what's going on with the indoctrination of our children and these agendas is just, it's from the pits of hell. And that's where it's from. And it's, well, it's absolutely, absolutely out of hand in our schools. And we still
hear complaints about it. The LGBT stuff. People are saying, hey, wait a minute here. My kid should be able to grow up and mature and decide for him or herself what they want to be.
So there's a couple of videos, guys, that anybody that wants to really kind of find out what's going on with this LGBT stuff on YouTube and go search who is actually funding these organizations. And you'll find out that guys like, I think Tim, what was his name? Tim Ball. I don't have the names in front of me, but they're all well known. Buffett family, multi billionaires are funding this LGBT agenda. And you go look at this video, watch it, and it really kind of you'll understand how this is manifesting itself so quickly in our systems and who's behind it. Very small group that are pushing this, but they have unlimited resources at their disposal.
Even the gay community, gay community is against it.
Yeah, I know.
And you've got
what they represent. It's a completely radical agenda designed to completely destabilize the family. Period. Yep. And that's what they're doing. When you're allowing drag queens, to put on a show in a public library to 5 and 6, 7 year old kids. Are you guys nuts?
But if you come out and oppose it, they censor you. Even on YouTube.
They're in jail. They're going to put us in jail next if we oppose it. That's where we're going.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but jail, to me, it makes no difference because it's not going to change my opinion. It's not going to change my mind that it's wrong.
Well, they want us to be in fears, folks. They really do. They want us all to just shut up. They use the mechanism of fear so well in our society, and I see that now. How they're getting people scared because Kevin Johnson's in jail. These other people are being attacked. Maybe somebody that's not completely committed to this, maybe they'll back off. Maybe they've got family. Maybe they don't want to go to jail. Maybe they've got to be there to look after their family. They go to jail, their whole life falls apart. All these different things are being weighed against us as a society. It's unbelievable what's going on right now, but you know what? I honestly believe that there's enough Canadians, and I honestly believe there's enough good people left in the world right now that if we can get them fully informed about what's really going on and what the implications are for the future of their family, of the way they have enjoyed their lives, what they've got to experience as a free so-called person in Canada or the United States of America, or wherever you are in the free world, is all going to get taken away. I think you'd see a lot more people get involved, but people still are in the matrix. Go ahead.
And the division in the countries is a problem. It works for them, not for us. It works against us. People need to unite. Look, forget all your petty little differences and understand that these are the priorities. We need to stand up together and say that's enough.
See, Dave, if I could just cut in here, the way they've sold it to the masses, though, through mainstream media, through the newspapers, through books, by rewriting history in our school books, we've been going through this for 30, 40 years. This has been a slow creep. This is not something that popped up overnight. It's just now that it's coming to a head. And what's really forcing them to ramp up things even quicker in this last year or so is the fact that people are actually waking up and actually seeing what's going on. And a lot of people like yourselves, myself, Barry, Kevin J. Johnson, the Faith Goldies, we're saying, screw this. We know what's going on, and we're not going to shut up. We're going to let even more and more people know. We don't care what they call us. And people are getting the courage to speak up because, quite frankly, the standard of living has gone down. And as more and more people become unemployed that should not be unemployed, and they see what's coming down the road, those people are going to start to speak up soon. And this is going to spread like wildfire. It's happening already. Why do you think they're cracking down so hard on guys like Kevin J. Johnson, demonetizing people on YouTube, shutting us down, censoring us on Facebook? They're scared.
It's a scare tactic. And I'm not – look, you got to stand for something or live for nothing. It's that simple.
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth, Dave, because what else is more important right now in our lives? We think about it. We think about what the implications are if we don't stop this.
This is our children and grandchildren's future.
We don't have a choice right now. We have absolutely no choice. We are committed. It's our duty. It's our civil duty. It's our moral duty. And if you turn your back on this, one day your kids are going to curse you as they're standing over your grave. They're going to curse you. And I don't want to be there.
Absolutely. And the reality is that, I mean, where I'm at, the situation is slowly getting to be understood, because now if you're in the big cities, you understood what was going on with the Global Migration Compact. You get what's going on in the cities. But up in the middle of nowhere, we haven't seen a lot of that. But now it's starting to filter up into these areas. And the people are saying, hey, wait a minute here. What's going on? We can't get a job, but they're bringing these people in, and they're getting our jobs. What's going on?
Yeah, unemployment's record high. 40% on unofficial unemployment in Alberta, if it's not higher. And they're still taking 100,000 immigrants? Like, why?
It's a lot more than that, Ed. Believe me, I've been looking at some information, and if I can pull it up again, I'll send you guys the information. But they're looking at 3 million this year.
Yeah, I heard that. Now, I don't think they're going to get away with that. But 1 million is probably what Trudeau is going to try and do here in the next year. We looked at
you have to look at how
but
many.
That's talking about legal immigration. What about the illegals that are crossing our border? What about the people that are coming in on the foreign workers programs? What about the foreign students program that they all end up staying in Canada? Add another 1 million to the population coming into the country every year. What are you talking about? 2 million?
Climate refugees.
Oh, yeah. We got to take them all in, buddy.
They're not included in that count.
I know. Now they're going to bring in a whole bunch of Somalis.
Yeah, you're looking at 3 million people.
Unbelievable.
So what do? You bring in all these different tribes from all over the world. They all want to push their own agenda. And then they start fighting with each other. Then you got civil war. And then you got martial law. And then you got total control. Done story. End of game. Boom. There it is.
How it's going to all play out, Ed, nobody knows for sure, but we kind of see what they're doing, how they're setting our society up, how they're doing this, how they're doing that. The end game, we got lots of different ideas and thoughts about that, but we all know their end game is not a good one, period.
There's war coming. Regardless of how they cut it and slice it up into nice, pretty looking little bows, a war is coming here. And Canadians.
One way or the other, there's going to be a war. Yes, one way or the other, there's going to be a war. But I keep saying to people that we really do not want to go to that point, that we still have the numbers right now, that if we get our poop together and stand as a unified body against what's going on in our government, we could put a stop to this. But I just don't see Canadians being that concerned yet. I just don't see it yet. I'm hoping.
I tell people every day, but prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
Well, I do talk to people now that, 5 years ago, they would call me a tinfoil hat conspiracy nut. Now we seem to be engaging in conversations because they're starting to hear and see things that are actually starting to affect their lives. And where I live, in this part of the world, Dave, we're okay because we got this LNG project going in Kitimat, and there's hundreds of millions of dollars coming into this community right now, and there's guys making big bucks, and they're all the construction workers that are all happy. But that all can change in the blink of an eye. Literally, that whole thing could fall apart in a matter of a couple of days. People got to realize everything sits on world economies and world banks. And if there's a major disruption in world economies, this major project that's going on up here right now could come to a grinding halt overnight.
And just the money that we're losing in the West is an exorbitant amount of money.
Well, I don't blame the West wanting to separate from Canada right now. If you look at I just don't blame them. I mean, there's nothing that our government is doing to support Alberta. It is like an all-out war in Alberta. The economic engine of Canada is under attack. It's just unbelievable that this is going on, that the suicide rates in Alberta are off the charts, that people are losing their lives, they're losing everything that they ever worked for in their life is being taken away from them.
And yet they're sending all these immigrants out there.
And thousands of immigrants to live in these towns. Take a look at what's going on in Fort McMurray right now, guys. If that doesn't wake you up, the numbers up there right now, Dave, are unbelievable. What's gone on in that little town since they got burned out? They got burned out. Imagine that. And those fires, they burned in ways that they'd never seen fires burn before. What the heck was going on there, I wonder? It couldn't be part of an agenda, could it? Oh, the largest mosque in North America is being built there right now?
And they only build it on scorched ground.
Only on scorched ground. That's their doctrine, man. Read the Quran, chapter 7, verse 4. Read it.
Yep.
Well, if you guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's never a mosque unless that land has been conquered. Only after it's been conquered do they put up a mosque.
Well, that's what's going on right now in Fort McMurray, guys. And I'll tell you, it's going to happen right across the country. I am not myself. I love all people. I believe that immigration is done properly, it is how you build a great country. But what's going on now in our country is undermining our culture. It's undermining our economy, our social systems. Now we have the possibility of an outbreak of a pandemic on a health system that's already in Canada is stretched to the limits right now. Our health services are stretched to the limits. Okay. Now, if you add to that equation right now a major outbreak of a pandemic in the country of Canada, what are we going to have? We're going to have chaos in society. Who would benefit from that? That's a question that we could get into that rabbit hole, and we could go 100 different places with that right now, because there's multiple different people that could benefit from what's going on and an agenda. And we get back to that word agenda, because it's all agenda. Everything we see is tied together, and it's all part of a massive agenda. They're going to try and bring civilization. It could be the start of something really big. This could blow off and just be another test point for society. Nobody knows for sure, but it's, like I said earlier, it's something that we all got to kind of prepare ourselves for, just in case things go south. That's all I'm going to say about that today. Focus in Africa, though. Holy smokes, guys. You see what's going on over there? There's the land, man. There's nothing left. It's the worst infestation of locusts ever experienced by the human race in recorded time.
And what are they doing in South Africa? And what is our country doing to help? Canada used to go and help countries and people that were in need. We don't anymore. We only help
Christians that are getting murdered and slaughtered. We don't pay attention to them anymore, man, because they are on the bottom of the barrel. Period. But all this is coming.
If you look at South Africa, what's happened in South Africa? It went from a pretty much democratic, free society to full blown communism. They're stealing land from farmers. It's full-blown communism in South Africa today.
Yes, it is. Same thing that happened in Venezuela. Same place. Anywhere socialism sets in, it all ends up the same way.
And this is where all the people that have come to this country legally, they're standing up and saying, hey, look, that's enough. Even Islam, the Muslims are standing up and saying, look, we came here because we don't want the radical stuff here.
And here it is.
And here it is, and they're standing up and saying, hey, enough is enough. Like, but I don't get where they can say, well, you're all racist, because it's not a race thing. It's an issue with the indoctrination of something that doesn't jive with our culture.
We're watching our country being destroyed in front of our faces, and we're supposed to shut up and not talk about it. It's getting
from the inside.
Well, of course. M103, you look at every piece of legislation that's been put through by the Liberal government in the last 4 years, it's a direct attack on anything to do with free speech. Under the guise of protection, you look at them coming after our guns now, you look at everything that they're doing is right out of the Communist Manifesto. And if we don't stop it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And actually telling people that, you know, this is not a time to be silent, that this is not a time in your life to sit back and go, well, somebody else is going to fix this problem. Everything's going to be fine. Nothing really bad could happen in Canada, because this is Canada, land of the free, home of the brave. Bull crap, man. Societies like ours have fallen in the blink of an eye. And it can happen here. And when it does, if it gets to that point, it's going to be too late to do anything about it.
And not one of the guys in my area that I've talked to that hunts says they're ever going to give up their guns, no matter what. And I don't blame them, because I wouldn't either.
Well, don't ever give up your firearms, guys. If it ever comes to that point, don't give up your firearms, because it's your God-given right to protect yourself. And if you look at the history of firearms, any country, any society that's taken away firearms, you could talk about Mao, you could talk about Stalin, you could talk about Hitler, you could talk about Chavez, you could talk about any dictator that's taken, you could talk about any dictator that's taken his guns away from the society. You look what's happened to that society, the exact same thing will happen here. If you don't think that's going to happen, then you really do have your head in the sand. It's all part of a massive agenda to make this defenseless. And they'll never get mine. Mine are buried in the ground, Dave. Hey, guys, you hear that on Facebook? That's right. Mine are buried in the ground. Come and find them. Go ahead.
Yep.
We're down to 4 minutes. Listen, you know, I really kind of, this has been a little bit crazy. Not crazy, just kind of off the hip conversation here the last hour. And I've really enjoyed having a chat with you, Dave and Ed. And it went by really quick. So, look, I'm going to give you a couple minutes or another, a minute here to kind of say what you want to say here, any last thoughts you have for our audience today, where people maybe can follow you, Dave, because I think you're going to keep involved in politics. And Ed, you're always got your fingers in everything that's going on that's good for Canada. So keep up the good work, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, Ed and I see eye to eye in the People's Party. So and you do too, Barry. So, I mean, it's logical to follow the things that are going to benefit our country instead of destroy us. And more people every day are waking up to that fact, but it's slow. It's a slow process because we're fighting against, we're fighting against the government, really. Their agenda.
You got to have the courage to speak up, folks. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. If they don't believe you, or if they're completely on the other side, ask them some pointed questions. Ask them to help you find the truth of the matter that you know is something, just anything, any topic you want. Just get them going in the right direction. Just ask the question. People are smart. They'll think for themselves. They just need to be led where to think or where to look.
And you'll be surprised. Stand up now or they're going to walk on you.
Very, very well. Absolutely. If we don't stand up now, then the time to stand up is going to be taken away. That window will close, and it's just a matter of time.
So, and it's closed.
Yeah, to me, like I said earlier, I know we're all on the same page here, guys, and I know we all feel the same way about what we see going on and what we see for the future of our friends or neighbors or family. We don't want to wish that on anybody, so we do have an opportunity to still stop this. I'm not throwing in the towel in any stretch of the imagination, but I am saying that our time is limited, that we don't have another generation to fix the problems that are going on in our country. We don't have 10 years to fix the problems. That we have to get ourselves together and stand against what we see going on, or we're going to lose it. That's all I got to say.
I don't advocate violence at all. Believe me, I'm more defensive. I push being defensive. You know, defend yourself. Don't initiate problems. Don't be aggressive, but be honest.
Be able to look after your family.
Truth will set you free.
Okay, guys. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Thanks for coming in, Dave, and thanks, Ed, for joining me.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks.
I've enjoyed the conversation.
Steve, thank everybody.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
No problem, Ed. We'll have you in again for sure. And thanks to Doug, of course, there the first hour for joining me in. I enjoy talking to Doug. He's a great guy to have a conversation with, and we'll do it again in the very near future. I'll be back. You know, I woke up today, guys, and I didn't even want to go on the radio. And when I get up in those kind of moods, I just got to tell myself that whatever it is that's sitting on my shoulder telling me to stay away from the air, I got to get rid of it. And I asked that guy to get off my shoulder this morning, and I'm glad I came on the radio today, because I was going to take the day off. I'm glad I came on because I've enjoyed the conversations immensely. I'll be back next week, guys, same time, same place. Have a great week. God bless y'all. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing my show. Steve is an awesome guy. He's been putting up with me now for I don't know how many years, but thanks, Steve, for everything you do. Thanks for joining us today, guys. And
hey, like Barry?
Yes, sir?
I'd just like to say for 1 second, if it's okay, any of the Patriots that are out there, join a 3%er group.
And yeah, on Facebook.
The oath. Yep, and swear the oath. Because we're going to be the last line of defense.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, that's this week's show. I'll be back next week. Have a great week. God bless you all.